The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
This is Josh Griffin from Download Youth Ministry, and you're listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
We are back, Youth Ministry Sherpas.
Helping youth workers to keep going. Hey, everybody, this is Steve.
And I'm Matthew.
It has been a long time.
It has been a while.
We have taken the entire summer off.
Yes, mostly because you were gone.
I know, but we haven't recorded an episode since the Sherpa Shorts in May.
In May.
Right?
Yep.
So, man, it has been a long time.
Yep. Just looking at this equipment made me get the heebie-jeebies.
It's taken us like 2 hours sitting here to figure out how we do this.
How we do this.
Can't even remember.
Exactly. So, but we're back. We're so excited to be back. We have a great fall mapped out for season four. Is it season four?
I guess so.
I don't know. We haven't really named them seasons.
We never numbered them as we went, but, you know.
I think season four is good. Don't you need season five to get syndication?
I don't think we're going to get syndication.
I don't think so either, but, you know, I was just curious. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're back. We have had a great summer.
Oh, you have had the best summer.
That's true.
I had a good summer, too, honestly, but you had a sabbatical summer.
I did. I was off for 10 straight weeks.
10 weeks?
Yes.
That's a long time.
I know. You had one last year. It was 8 weeks,
I did.
Right?
I had 8 weeks last fall.
Well, our church gives us an 8-week sabbatical every 7 years. And I added 2 weeks vacation. Because I know myself.
Like, smart
eight,
move.
8 is not enough, man.
Smart move.
8 may have been enough back in the day, but not anymore. I needed 10. So I added 2 weeks vacation, had a great time. Completely unplugged from the church.
So how long have you been back in the office, so to speak?
This is the beginning of my third week back.
Okay, all right.
I eased back in the first week real slow, and then last week was pretty much full on, and this week, and we're ramping up for fall, so we got a lot to do. Yeah, we already had our first retreat of the year yesterday. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 10 straight weeks off. I did not check my email one time.
That, sir, is impressive.
I know. I was so proud. Yeah. And so, you know what? It was really easy.
Why was it easy?
Because I hate my email.
It was a rhetorical question, Steve. Of course it was easy not to check your email.
Yeah, no, I was totally off email. And I was with people from church. Like, we hung out with friends just socially.
Sure.
Quite a bit, actually. But I told everybody up front, if you even talk about church, we're sending you home.
We're out.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was with people from church, but I didn't come to church once. Didn't check my email once. I saw my staff very rarely, and it was great.
That was amazing.
I know.
It was amazing.
I feel good.
I had a pretty busy summer, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, I was probably the antithesis of you, but that's okay. I mean, I was busy. It's different. You were not busy.
I played a lot of golf.
Yeah.
I traveled a lot with my wife.
Oh, I'm really feeling...
I visited many vineyards.
I'm really feeling poor. I'm really feeling... poorly for you right now with all the busyness you had to deal with.
Yeah, it was rough.
This summer, it was rough.
It was rough, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so you were busy. You went to Peru.
Yeah, I had Peru, a couple of big events at the church.
Right.
All kind of converge at the same time frame, so it's just kind of this frenetic, you know, pace to get there, and then it sort of just drops off, you know, in August. And
right.
You get a little downtime. Had a nice little vacation to the homeland, Wisconsin, with the family. Toured Lambeau. Had a great time. Just had an absolute great time.
You're part owner, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You should be.
Yep.
All your kids were home, too, right?
Yeah, yeah. I had all kids home for the summer.
Yeah.
And so that adds a chaos to the house, you know, which you get used to a little quieter.
Sure.
And then it ramps up. But it's a beautiful chaos, honestly. I'll take it.
Our summers are different now because my youngest, Thomas, he stayed in Nashville this summer.
Okay, so he didn't even come home.
He's entering his senior year of college. And he did come home a couple times, but he didn't live with us this summer, and that was different.
It was very different, yeah.
We went to see him, and he came to see us, but yeah, it's a whole new world, man.
It is, yeah.
Post-children traumatic stress syndrome?
That's something. Yeah. If it's not, it will be soon. Yeah. But anyway, we're back. We spent a little time brainstorming. We've got some really great things in store for the fall here on the Sherpas podcast.
Do you think anybody missed us?
I hope so. I mean, no one texted me or said, hey, where's your stuff? But right. I think once they get back to listening, they might think, oh, I remember how good that was.
I hope so. We're going to do our best.
we certainly do our best.
We do have plans for the fall. We got some legends to drop.
Some great legend interviews.
Yes, and we got a new feature we're going to share called Sherpa Say What.
Sherpa Say What?
Which we think you're going to have a good time with. And yeah, we got some great plans.
Good episodes.
Yeah.
So on to our new feature.
Sherpa,
say what?
We rip something from the headlines that just can't be real. But because it's in the news, it is real.
Correct.
And so
everything you read online is real.
If it's online, it has to be true. So anyway, this taken from the Huffington Post. Vomiting vultures invade Florida vacation home.
What?
Yeah. West Palm Beach, Florida. A New York couple's luxurious vacation house in Florida has been taken over by dozens of black vultures that are vomiting and defecating everywhere.
Black vomiting, defecating vultures.
I'm reading this straight from the news here. The Palm Beach reports that their name will be removed for safety. This family can't even
the Huffington
visit.
Post. Huh?
That's true. The Casamino family. They can't visit their $702,000 home they purchased earlier this year because of the vultures.
You know what the actual value of the house was? It was like $7 million, but it's only worth $700,000 now because there's vultures in it.
Yeah. The owner describes the smell as like 1,000 rotting corpses. I have questions about that statement. How does he know what 1,000 rotting corpses smell like?
That sounds awful.
Yeah, yeah. Green enclosures, they've overtaken the pool and the barbecue. The family has visited a few times. They've had to park their car in the garage, and then the birds peck at them with their beaks. Why are you even pulling into the garage?
Wow.
The end of the article says, the homeowners blame cats, the neighbor, who they claim is excessively feeding the wildlife.
Oh, my word. That's terrible.
That's not going to go well in the next HOA meeting.
You know what's really scary is we have a house rented in Florida in November.
I did check the address of our house. It's nowhere near
the
Black Vulture House. Different cities, different parts of Florida. We are cool.
Okay. So we still have openings in the Sherpa House.
Yes.
So if you want to stay with us at the National Youth Workers Convention in November, get in touch with us.
Jump on our Instagram if you want to see pictures of this place. I'm telling you what, this is where you want to stay if you're going to the National Youth Workers Convention. From a location-wise, from a just a beautiful place, and then top it off with hanging out with 19 other awesome youth workers, being able to kind of debrief the whole convention together. I mean, we'll stop short of calling it the party house. But you know what I'm saying.
Hit us up. You can email us at youthministrysherpas@gmail.com, and we'll send you all the information. We still got some spots left.
They are going quickly.
They are.
I mean, we do have a good amount of people locked in. So if you want to stay, you definitely want to get to us.
Sherpas.
Say what?
All right, man. So our episode today, we're going to talk about social media.
Yes.
Because part of my sabbatical was I was off of social media completely for 10 weeks.
I missed you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, am I going to find a Pittsburgh rant when you're not on social media?
Well, you just had to sit on my back patio because I was sitting there with my wife just lamenting the state of the Pirates. But yeah, 10 weeks, no social media. I actually started off in June. I was going to take June off. And then I got to July and I was like, this is pretty good. I like this. And it was freeing, my friend.
Okay.
It really was.
Unpack what was freeing about it. I'm not doubting that it was freeing.
Yeah.
I mean, I like social media like everybody else does, but I'm curious as to what was so freeing about 10 weeks off.
Right. Well, I mean, I confess I'm a little bit obsessive about it, a little bit addicted to it. So I waste time on it, which is dumb.
Who doesn't waste time on it?
But, you know, more than that, like, there's so much, and I can unpack this philosophically, but just following everybody's stories all the time, especially as a youth pastor, you're involved in the lives of so many different people, and your church, people outside your church. For us, it's other youth workers and stuff. I just set all that aside. Mm. And so the only way that I could really take a sabbatical from church was to not know what everybody at church is doing.
That's true.
You know?
Okay, that actually makes perfect sense.
It does. Like the mission trips this summer, they're going to post pictures on Instagram and Facebook from those trips, and I'm going to know what's happening. I didn't want to know. I really wanted to step away completely and totally to just clear out the whole system of everything youth ministry and church related. I mean, that's the point of the sabbatical.
Sure, sure. It's one thing to step away physically,
yeah.
But how do you step away emotionally as well? If you're emotionally connected to what everyone's doing, you're not really stepping away.
Correct. And so social media was that one piece that, like, well, you know, I can be in California, which I was for 10 days, and still know everything that's happening, and that doesn't feel good.
No.
So I cut it all off.
But how are we supposed to know what you're doing, Steve, without regular posts?
Does anyone even care?
I care, Steve.
No, thanks.
No, all right. So that's awesome, and I applaud you for 10 weeks. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah.
I would love to do that. I don't know that I ever will, but I philosophically, I totally get it. So maybe let's unpack then for you and I and for others out there who are listening in youth ministry, a youth worker, how do we take that conceptually and break it down into how we manage our day-to-day? Because most of us are not going to get off social media for a day, let alone 10 weeks,
right?
But there has to be some...
You can get off for a day.
You could.
I would challenge
you
on that statement.
Yeah, okay, you could. I didn't say you couldn't. I'm saying most of us won't. Right? So how do we manage our social media? And again, this isn't an episode about how we teach our kids about social media, and it's an episode about how we as youth workers manage our own social media lives for our own health.
Correct.
Okay.
So taking this time off, as I thought about coming back and re-entering the social media universe, I had to be very specific about how I was going to do that.
Okay.
Like what that's going to look like.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like getting on 20 times a day and posting everything. That's not what it looks like.
Okay.
I think I've posted a couple things so far. I posted my return.
Yep.
And talked a little bit about my summer and a blog post that I wrote that people could go to read about that.
Yep.
And I think I posted something about my kids' music.
All right.
And that's it.
All right. So how do we control? Let's unpack that. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Let's think about that. You've clearly given this a lot of thought. I have some ideas about this. This would be a great conversation.
All right.
How do we control social media so that it doesn't control us?
Yeah. Well, let's think about it in terms of what are we trying to accomplish? Or what is the social media for?
Okay.
So I know, like, you have a personal Instagram account.
I do.
Right?
Yep.
And your church has... accounts.
Sure. Church has accounts. Student ministry has account. Church has an account.
Right.
Yep.
And that's intentional. The separation of that is very intentional.
It is very intentional. Yes.
A couple years ago, I created my personal Instagram account separate from the youth ministry account because up until that time, they'd been the same.
They were the same. They
were
one
and
the same.
That didn't feel right.
Yep.
That didn't feel right.
Okay.
So I wanted to separate them. My life is not only youth ministry. I have,
you have
another life.
You have a whole other life outside of youth ministry.
Yes.
Yep.
So I think creating separate accounts is a good start.
Separate accounts is good.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's creating boundaries, right? Where, again, just talking about what you were just talking about, this idea that we're emotionally connected to people and then we're able to see what's going on in their lives, or at least what they want us to know about what's going on in their lives when we follow their social medias. And so how do we regularly create space away from that with yet still engaging in it, right?
Okay.
So not walking away. So, like, for me, one of the, and this has been very intentional. I wish I could tell you that it was really well thought out and strategic in the beginning. It just sort of turned out this way. I have a Facebook, I have an Instagram, and I have a Twitter.
Okay.
I also have Snapchat, right? So, because I'm all up in the social
media.
I'm a big
You're Mr. Tech.
But I have, especially with the big three, the Facebook and the Twitter and the Instagram, I just called it the Twitter. That definitely ages me, right?
You also call it the Facebook.
I don't even know what the Twitter is. What am I, 85? Anyway, Facebook is my most open account. If I get a friend request on Facebook and I have mutual friends, even if I don't necessarily know that person, I'm going to accept that friend request.
That's interesting.
I just am. That's how I do it on Facebook. Now, I don't accept those friend requests where I'm the only person they've requested and the picture is a little sketchy. Obviously, I don't do that. But if I'll go to their page.
It's Alessandra from Russia.
Exactly.
We have a mutual friend.
Yeah, we don't. But I do. I go to their account. If we have mutual friends, and like for me, sometimes I go to the account and we have mutual friends. It's other youth workers that I know. I'm like, oh, great. This is one of my tribe. We're going to be friends. If it's, I don't recognize this person, but they have a lot of mutual friends within the church. I think this is someone who goes to church that I haven't met yet. They want to follow me. Okay. We're friends now. That's great. So Facebook is very, very open. Instagram, I'm a little more closed with.
Okay.
I actually have to know the person to be friends with them on Instagram. I'm not following anybody on Instagram or allowing them to follow me if we don't already have an in-person relationship. Even if it's casual, that's fine. So it's a little closed. My Twitter, I don't have almost any ministry-related followers on Twitter.
Okay.
Nor do I follow much ministry-related things. And that's intentional because I want a social media outlet where I don't have to carry other people's stuff.
Okay.
When I'm on Facebook and Instagram, even if it's 9 o'clock at night and I'm just in my pajamas, just chilling out, trying to wind down at the end of the day, unfortunately, as I scroll through Facebook and Instagram, I'm drawn into the people I minister to's lives.
That's right.
And then I have to carry that. And, and again, a lot of times at 9 o'clock at night, that's not a good thing to get carried into.
Right.
Because it doesn't lead to restful sleep. It doesn't lead to rest. So I spend a lot of time on Twitter at night.
Okay.
You know, it's my sports rant and my political rant. I that's what I engage in on Twitter because I don't find out about my people in my church's lives on Twitter.
Okay. So it's a very strategic, intentional way of looking at your personal social media.
Yes.
I wouldn't say that I've been that intentional about it.
Okay.
But for Facebook, if I don't know the person, I won't accept the friend request.
You're that guy.
I'm that guy.
All right. You can be that guy. It's your
account. I don't know. I think I'm probably on Facebook more than any other, so maybe I'm a little more restrictive with that even than the other accounts. I'm not really sure. I'm hardly ever on Twitter, so I don't count that. And Snapchat, I think I have one. I could never figure out how to use it.
You do
I'm
have
stupid.
One. I'm friends with you on Snapchat. Oh, but yeah, you have no idea what you're
doing. No, my wife uses Snapchat. She thinks she's so hip. She's so hip. She's so with the times. But so it's just Facebook, Instagram. And because we have separate youth ministry accounts for those, that's like the open. So if a kid wants to friend our church Instagram account,
rock and roll.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we want. But I don't need to be friends with everybody on Facebook.
No, you don't.
I don't.
You don't have to.
I don't. I don't want to be. Because to me, Facebook is like, it's a lot of things, but it's current people that I know and am in relationship with. It's past friends from different places we lived and seasons in life I just want to keep up with, you know. So to me, it's the widest open. I want to restrict it to a certain extent.
Fair enough.
So,
And so if you're listening, we just encourage you to think.
Think through it.
To think through that. Mm-hmm. How are whatever social media accounts that you have personally, how are you managing those to create space in your life where you can step away, where you can not be drawn into the chaos of ministry.
So part of that is also managing the amount of time you spend on it.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So do you have any kind of...
I'm very, very bad at this. I have nothing of value to add to this conversation because I want to be better. I'm just not.
Okay.
And so if you have some thoughts, well, I would love them.
I mean, this is my chance because I was off for 10 weeks. So now it's my chance to do better.
To build a new pattern.
To build a new pattern, to create a new habit. And so I want to do that. So I have removed the icons from my phone.
Okay.
So I can't just hit it on my phone and go straight to Facebook. I actually have to go to Google now.
Oh.
So there's two steps.
You're going old school. You have to log into Facebook on the internet.
Well, yeah, it automatically logs in. But I've removed the bookmarks on my computer. So by default, I would just go click all the time.
Sure.
Right? That's done. I have to actually go to the search bar now. Two steps removed. It helps. It does help. So I want to put it into a box where I'm going to use social media for the select amount of time at certain moments during the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just going to be the default background noise of my life anymore.
Okay.
And so maybe 30 minutes over lunch, I'll spend time catching up on Facebook.
See,
or maybe
what's going on.
Yeah, maybe early evening, so it doesn't affect my sleep patterns. You
okay,
know?
Good call.
I'll check it out then. But I'm not gonna be doing that constantly anymore. I don't want to do that because I don't think it's healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I need to keep it in its proper place and use it well, and create a habit that's sustainable. It doesn't eat away at my time and my soul.
Yeah. So at the risk of encouraging you all to do something that I have not yet done, I will commit to thinking a little bit more strategically about when I engage with social media. Because I think right now it is, for me, it is the background of my life. And so I need to figure out a way for it not to be, and again, this is going back to where we started, how do we control it without it controlling us? I feel like right now it controls me in the sense mm-hmm. that it's the background. It decides when I engage.
Correct.
And I need to flip that script and I need to decide, no, yeah, I'm gonna carve out X times that I'm gonna jump on and just see what's going on.
Grab your social media by the throat.
I know, I need to.
Grab it by the throat and put a chokehold
on it. I need to wrestle it down.
All right. Okay, so once we figure out how we're gonna control our use of the social media, how do we determine how to best present ourselves on social media? Because, you know, your ministry life and your personal life run together like cake batter, right?
Yes, it does not matter that you have a separate student ministry account and a separate personal account. The deal with ministry is those things blend.
They do.
People are going to make assumptions. People are going to make judgments on what you post on your personal account, even though you have a separate student ministry account. So
Right. We
have to think clearly about how we curate our content.
Yeah. Have you given that much thought for your own self?
Yeah. Yes and no. Probably not as much thought as I should give it. But clearly there are things that I do not post or do not engage in on social media because of what that might say to people. I mean, again, politics is an easy example.
Right.
I engage in politics on Twitter because I don't follow or have anyone from my church follow me on Twitter.
I'm going to start following
separate.
You on Twitter.
You should.
I want to see what you think.
But I will not post anything on Facebook or engage in any arguments on Facebook or Instagram
Right. Politically
only because I know it's such a polarizing topic that no matter where I stand on the issue, I'm going to alienate almost half of the people who follow me because...
Yeah.
It's just that polarizing that regardless of where I land on immigration, for example, I'm going to be opposite of half the people who follow me. And that just is not a good look. And so,
especially as an employee of a church,
yes,
you know, pastor,
there is that as well.
Because the people in your church are going to have different opinions.
Yes.
And so that's a really dicey place to be.
Yeah. But even just, again, there is, and we have policies and we're told what we shouldn't
mm-hmm.
post about.
Oh, okay.
But even personally, again, like these are my friends. Mm-hmm. I want to be whimsical. I want to be funny. I want to be engaging. I don't want to be, you know, inflaming.
Right.
Is that the right word? I don't know if that's the right word there. Yeah, I want to be engaging and whimsical and fun, not argumentative and standoffish mm-hmm. and pushing people away. So I have to think about what I post.
Right.
I have opinions
about
immigration and about other things. I just don't need to put it all over my social media because it's not going to be helpful.
Every now and then I go back and look at some of my past posts and I think if I was just hearing about the youth ministry at Mountain View and I was going to check it out and I'm going to check out the youth pastor.
Sure. I got a guy. Steve.
Yeah. What am I going to think? What kind of person is leading this ministry? What's he like? What are his interests? What kind of personality does he have?
What's important to him?
Yeah. And if they go back, I want people to go back to my Facebook or the Instagram account and have a sense of who I am and what I'm really about.
Right.
And so I want to carefully curate the catchphrase for that now. But
yeah.
I want to make sure that image is legitimate, not fake. But what really matters?
What really matters?
So you know, I'm going to think about, yeah, having a sense of humor, not taking myself too seriously,
right.
The value of my family,
yep,
how much I love my family and my wife and, you know, certain maybe hobbies that we have that are important to us. Maybe things about sports that are non-inflammatory.
Exactly.
Everybody knows I'm a Steelers fan, so you
know. You hate the Patriots, and that's fine.
Hey, of course, and they hate us. It's you know, that's cool. But yeah, I'm not going to post inflammatory things about politics or stuff like that.
And even just the thought of being creative, to putting some thought into it. Again, not to be fake, not to be, you know, not genuine, but. This Time Hop app, I have this time. You guys know about the Time Hop app, right? That you got on my phone. Like, it'll go back and grab my post. My wife and I laugh about this regularly because I'll get to like 10, 11 years ago, 12 years ago, like when Facebook was first, you know, coming on the scene.
When it was the Facebook.
When it was the Facebook, right? Thank you for bringing that back up. And I'll look, my post was Matthew is heading home for the day. What the heck is that? Who in the world needed to know that I was leaving the office and going home? Like I put
like
no
junior high
I put
self.
No thought, evidently 12 years ago, into what I was putting out there because I would put the dumbest.
You were overposting.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like 8 years ago is about the switch where I started becoming actually
an adult
worth like following on any of these social media. Right. So yeah, no, it's just taking time to like is what I'm putting out there. Meaningful enough to put out there.
Right.
And if it's not, good Lord, delete it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I try to put out things that maybe are a little thought-provoking, not controversial, just maybe encouraging to parents or something about something I've read that's really fascinating, you know, something along those lines.
Yeah.
Just to keep things interesting.
When I think about content and what I'm putting out there, could I climb on a soapbox for a hot minute here, Steve? You okay with that?
I'm just going to lean back in my chair and listen.
Yeah, so I have these feelings about this. Like we talked earlier about having separate accounts. We've got a student ministry account, we've got a personal account, and I'm for that. I get that. It's good. But when it comes to our personal accounts, again, you just talked about someone might send their kid to Mountain View's youth group and they're going to go, "All right, who is this Steve character who leads this thing?" They're going to look at it. I think it is unhealthy for if the only thing you post about on your personal account is ministry stuff.
Okay.
Right? I think that's unhealthy. Mm-hmm. I also think it's unhealthy if you post nothing about your ministry life on your personal social media. I've heard some people say, like, well, I've got the youth group account. That's where I do promotion. And when I talk about student ministry, my personal account is for my family and, you know, my whatever. Mm-hmm. And I get that, but what you do in ministry is a part of who you are.
Of course.
It is a calling. It is a piece of who you are. And so for it to be completely devoid of your social media presence just doesn't, this is my soapbox. I just don't think that's healthy. Mm-hmm. Just like I don't think like everything you post is about the next event or what happened and that kind of thing. I think there has to be a balance there where you should be posting about your family and your vacation and your feelings on the Pittsburgh Pirates. Like I get that because that's who you are. But you're a youth pastor at Mountain View Community Church and you lead this ministry. That's a part of who you are too. And if I want to know the whole Steve, I got to know that.
I agree.
So it's got to be out there. That's my soapbox. That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
And it kind of, you're right. I think if you could picture like a continuum of 100%, you got 20% extreme. All I ever post about is my personal life. 20% extreme. All I ever post about is youth ministry stuff. Somewhere in that middle is where you're looking to land.
That's
because you're right.
Land.
You can't separate your identity completely from it.
Right.
It's part of who you are.
Part of who you are.
If you do a wedding this weekend.
Yeah, of course I'm going to post about
a picture.
That.
Hey, this great couple, known them since they were in middle school.
Exactly.
That's youth ministry. And we put our podcast out there on our personal account.
Absolutely.
That's youth ministry,
right? Self-promotion.
Of course. A lot of that. Too much of that. so there's a balance to that for sure.
Absolutely.
And I think people want to know what the youth ministry is up to, people who know us well in that context. But they want to know that we're about more than that, too.
Yeah, true.
So that's a hard balance to find.
It is a tough balance to find, and there's a danger in it, right? Mm-hmm. And this is maybe this is kind of a thought we can sort of land this conversation on. This idea that part of the idea of social media is for me to know about you. Mm-hmm. So if I go to your Facebook page or your Instagram, I want to know what's going on with Steve Anderson, mm-hmm. right? That can lead to narcissism on the other end of that.
No.
Right? Where we are the focus of our posts. I see it often. I'm turned off by it, honestly.
Yeah. I know that you recently had to delete that picture of yourself standing in front of the mirror with your shirt off, the selfie post-workout picture, didn't you?
I didn't delete that picture because I've never taken that picture. Nobody wants to see that picture, Steve. Even if I was in shape, I'm pretty confident nobody wants to see that picture.
I agree.
So,
well, I mean, I didn't mean that as an offense, but yeah.
No, I understand. I understand where you're coming from. But no, the idea being right. that I know they want to know about my life, but that's different than knowing about me. Mm. And so there's got to be, like, as we curate our presence on social media, are we promoting the kingdom of God? Mm-hmm. Are we celebrating others in our life? Mm-hmm. And again, obviously our family members, but just other people, other friends of ours who are doing really cool things. Mm-hmm. That's as much a picture into who I am without it always being about me.
That's a really good point.
So there is a danger there, but I think if with a little thought, it's pretty easy to avoid that danger and to not become that person people talk about.
Yeah. So we're using our social media for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
We're using it to give people a glimpse into who we are.
Yes.
We're giving them a glimpse into what we're about, the youth ministry, and in the case of youth workers, and trying to paint a picture that it's attractive to the world, that gives, isn't a turnoff to people.
Correct.
Because so much of social media is nothing but a turnoff to people. But we can do better.
We can do better. We can
youth ministry world can do better than that.
Yep. And I don't think it's like this overcoming obstacle. It just takes a little forethought, a little mindfulness.
Yeah.
I think if everyone listening to this, a little discernment. If we all looked at this and literally just looked look back through your last 40 posts on any given social media, you'll be able to get a sense of whether you're kind of in that sweet spot or if you're leaning in one unhealthy direction or another. And then I think a little bit of time thinking about how could I do it differently would produce some pretty incredible results. This isn't rocket science. It's social media.
That's good, man. Yeah. That's good.
So
I would also recommend, man, if you can take off a little bit of time at some point, just get off totally. I mean, maybe over the holidays. I don't know. Maybe over the summer, but that was good for my soul.
If we get off over the holidays, we're not going to post our picture of the Christmas turkey or something.
That's
That'd be terrible.
I know.
People need to know what I'm eating for Thanksgiving, Steve.
All I know is that being off social media for the summer was really good for my soul. So I got to recommend it if you can do it.
Sweet.
All right.
Hopefully this was a helpful conversation for you all.
Yeah. And we are going to release episodes each week now. So we're back.
We're back.
We're back on. Good.
So yeah, so we've got lots of great content coming up this fall. We can't wait. We're excited. And we will be back next week with another episode of Youth Ministry Sherpas.
Until then,
Sherpas out.